that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is March 7th, and this is the Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. And welcome into the Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. My name is Evan Marinofsky. Hope you guys are having a great day, a great week. And on this episode, Connor Ryan and I get into some the new deadline acquisitions who are killing it. Dmitry Orlov, first star of the week in his first week as a Bruin, which I don't know. I think that's pretty good. We get into Tyler Bertuzzi, what he adds on the third line with Taylor Hall out and what Taylor Hall's absence means. We also get into Charlie Coyle and how he's been one of the underrated parts of this Bruins team and really an essential part for the new role that he plays. So a fun episode as always, a good episode. These are always fun to do down the stretch, especially as the postseason gets closer and closer, the deadline's in the rearview mirror. So really hope you guys enjoy this. And without further ado, here's my conversation with Connor Ryan. And we're here with Connor Ryan, who's presented by our good friends over at HelloFresh. Connor, what is up?
Evan, I'm doing well. How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. It has been quite a busy weekend for me, at least. Lots of prep hockey championships. There was girls and boys all weekend. So it was quite a weekend of hockey. Lots of games, lots of time spent in the rink. But it was a very fun time, very fun events. But we are back to talking Bruins, which is again, all season been great. I was thinking, like, is there anything negative we've talked about in the past couple months? The answer is no. And if you remember back to last summer, a lot of our episodes were somewhat negative. Cassidy's gone and the injury bug hitting the team. And is Krejci coming back? Is Bergeron coming back? And now here we are in March and life's pretty good for the Bruins. Pretty damn good. 10-game win streak. Beat the Rangers Saturday in a matinee matchup. And the deadline acquisitions are already paying off. Dmitry Orlov, first star of the week. His first week. You come to the Bruins, you're just immediately like, you're blessed when you come to the Bruins. You immediately become a star, as Dmitry Orlov has done. 3 goals, 9 points, 4 games. We all knew he was going to be impactful, but to be this impactful this quickly, still kind of a surprise.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you look at just what he's brought, and Orlov's a guy that I think people, you know, you first found out the news that the Bruins got him, you're excited because I think people think he's a very physical defenseman, and he is. Like, he will knock guys over. He'll probably have a couple of highlight reel hits during the playoffs, but that's not necessarily like the foundation of his game. Like, he can do that, but I think where a lot of his value has been is kind of the stuff that doesn't register on the score sheet, right? Like, really good transition play, really good at killing plays down the other end of the ice, just always seems to be in the right spot to negate plays and help you down the other end of the ice. So he's been as advertised in that regard, but offensively he's been unbelievable, right? Like, whether it's the passing, how assertive he is with the puck, and even just like the shot that he brings. I mean, he's got some really good power behind it. And it's such, I think, a a different dynamic and something that this D-Corps has been missing. Like, there's no doubt this is a already very, very talented D-Corps with guys like McAvoy and Lindholm, Grzelcyk, all these players that are really good at moving the puck. But having a guy that can just hammer the puck from any part of the ice has been a little bit of a missing component to this team. So adding that, whether it be at 5-on-5 or especially on the power play, I'd be curious if the Bruins power play is still kind of off and on over the next couple of weeks and they want to tinker with a few things. I do wonder if a guy like Orlov gets a look on that top power play unit just because of, you know, how good he is moving laterally, but just having that shot as something that a bunch of penalty killers have to be aware of. But no, you're right. Like, for how good he's been, it's been a surprise in terms of just the tangible production. If he went through his first 5-6 games and had 2-3 assists, was averaging 20 minutes a game, penalty kill, a little bit of power play, more than happy with what he would provide. But
oh, you'd take that in a second.
But to add on just the tangible scoring and how assertive he is with the puck, and it's something where I think it also helps being a Jim Montgomery system in terms of how much he encourages the defenseman to push up the ice to, you know, take some risk when the opportunity's there, and he's making the most of it. So when you add his skill set to this already very good team, wouldn't say I'm surprised, but you can see how this a very talented player like Orlov is going to thrive here right from the get-go.
And his first syllable in his last name is Orr. So just, you know, let Twitter
seen that a lot already.
Let Twitter go crazy on that one. But again, I go back to, you know, obviously the production most likely is not going to be 9 points every four games. Most likely, you never know. This team is surprising everybody. But I probably wouldn't say that he's on pace for that for the rest of the season. What I would say though is, you may have found a full time D partner for Charlie McAvoy, which Grzelcyk does a terrific job in that spot, right? The advanced analytics for those two are through the roof. The chemistry is amazing. Like, they can pin teams in the offensive zone pretty well, keeping the puck in, moving the puck around, solid in their own end, great in transition play, obviously. But Orlov, a little more well-rounded, I guess a little more physical than Grzelcyk. And maybe that's the route you take in the playoffs. You know, Orlov has won a Stanley Cup, playoff pedigree, all those things, tough physical. He was the one who hit Kevin Miller up high a few years ago, if memory serves, right?
Yes.
That was Orlov?
Yes, he was, yeah.
I was forgetting which Capital was doing those hits because there were so many. And the Bruins now have two of those three. But good for them. But it is an interesting dynamic to think, hey, you know, maybe, you know, this obviously deepens the Bruins. And I think one thing that, you know, as the years have gone by, I think we've always waited for Matt Grzelcyk's ascension into being a full-time top four defenseman. And while I do think he is a solid top four defenseman during the regular season, the postseason numbers aren't amazing. And I think the Bruins, you know, just speaking off, you know, just kind of guessing here, want some more insurance there than Grzelcyk in the postseason. And it is interesting to think maybe that is Charlie McAvoy's full-time partner now.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, at the very least, Orlov's arrival gives the Bruins options, right? And it's something that Jim Montgomery has mentioned before in terms of Grzelcyk, of, you know, knowing how good he is during the regular season, acknowledging what his postseason numbers are. Jim Montgomery, when he was asked about that, was pretty much like, well, I'm giving him a clean slate. You know, I'm a new coach. We'll see how the new system does, you know, how he fares in that in the playoffs. Values what Grzelcyk brings. So just because I think Grzelcyk's been the odd man out two games since Orlov arrived doesn't mean that he's not going to be in the lineup for game one. But you're right. Whether that means that Grzelcyk is then driving a third pairing next to a guy like Connor Clifton, you know, that's a good problem to have. If it is Grzelcyk on the outside looking in and it's Forbert and Clifton, who both have played very well and, you know, serve, you know, key roles in terms of what they're good at, the Bruins will take that, right? There's not like really a weak link on this team. You can make the argument there are no weak links because Matt Grzelcyk was probably a top four defenseman on 85-90% of other D-Corps around the league.
100%.
All of them, right?
He was the top four defenseman for this team for a bunch of months.
So again, and it's something where, again, those things also tend to, like, you know, solve themselves once you get to the playoffs, right? Like, let's say whatever the game one lineup is that Montgomery rolls with, I don't think it's necessarily an indictment on whichever player is the odd man out, because let's face it, if the Bruins are going to be playing into June, they're going to need all seven of those guys, if not even more guys. Like, you know, it's the same with, like, over a long playoff run. I feel like every single player on that roster has one moment that stands out to you. Like AJ Greer might be the odd man out once, you know, if they get guys like Foligno and Hall back, but I feel like AJ Greer is going to have a huge hit or a huge goal at some point during the playoffs, right? When he does draw into the lineup, right? So,
like Sean Thornton in game three of the Cup final in 2011. Yeah,
that was exactly. So, every single player has to kind of pull on that rope once you get to the playoffs. So, for the Bruins to be in this spot where, all right, I think it's going to be a hot take, Evan. I think it's safe to assume that McAvoy, Lindholm, and Orlov are probably not going to get slotted out of the lineup. So you got three guys in there that I think are good. That I think are
heat
pretty good.
That's a heat check. That's a heat check. Woo.
I think they're pretty good. I wouldn't move them. I think you keep them in there throughout the playoff run, barring injury. So if you have the other three spots and it's a guy like Forbert, Grzelcyk, Clifton, you know, Brandon Carlo, that's a great problem to have if you're the Bruins, right? And again, those things tend to always sort themselves out because all those guys are going to be taking a lot of punishment once we get to the playoffs.
Especially a guy like Forbert, Clifton, those guys play, you know,
yeah,
a little tougher than some others. That is good for the playoffs, but it also makes you a little more injury prone, especially blocking all those shots. But again, I think the Grzelcyk debate is something we're going to probably touch on a lot over the next couple weeks. I almost said months, but the playoffs are like getting a month away. It's crazy. But I mean, I again, the Grzelcyk stuff is interesting because I do think he provides you something that the others don't. The other ones who are, you know, getting slotted in a lineup, but they also provide something that the others don't. We've talked about this. Like, you know, Clifton is kind of a little all over the place, and Forbert is great, you know, defensive shutdown defenseman, blocking shots, penalty killing, and Grzelcyk is better with moving the puck. I still think it comes down to matchups. I still think matchups is the biggest thing, but I think what breaks through that, those any matchups they have, probably Orlov and McAvoy is the top pair. Seems to be what's working. It's worked so far. But I mean, again, it's worked. And I think you have a legit top four now. And I know there are Bruins fans and some media clamoring that, they don't have a set top four even without Orlov. But now, I mean, Orlov, McAvoy, Lindholm, Carlo. That's a pretty damn good top four.
Pretty good.
The big thing is you have to keep Carlo healthy. And you have to make sure that he returns to 2019 playoff form, which is a kind of a big ask, I guess, in the playoffs, because that was peak Brandon Carlo. But we'll see what ends up happening with that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, Tyler Bertuzzi, interesting case. First game against the Rangers. How about a stage for a first game? Matinee, ESPN, ABC game against the Rangers on the third line with Charlie Coyle. Assists on a goal. And the Bertuzzi thing is interesting because that's a guy who was the top line left winger for the Red Wings. Now, again, the Red Wings are not the Bruins, but still, that's a top line left wing in the NHL. And he is on the third line for you. And it's interesting, again, now with Taylor Hall out, which we'll get to in a bit, Bertuzzi brings a lot of options. And I would almost argue is more, I think it's not even really debatable, is way more of a third-line player than Taylor Hall, just his style and the way he plays. Again, Taylor Hall was going good on that third line, worked fine with Coyle, they made it work. But Bertuzzi offers a little something different. And seem to be showing that on Saturday against the Rangers. And I think we'll be showing that a lot more in the coming weeks. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think he's been a solid fit through one game. And I think what Bertuzzi brings, as you said, it's not just the pure goal scoring. I think you'll obviously take that. There's a guy who scored 30 goals last year. And if he's in your bottom six, pretty good. You know, and who knows where eventually he falls. Even though Zaka, Krejci, and Pasternak have been good, he could be a top six guy there. But I think he watched it in that game against the Rangers, whether it's his poise with the puck, really patient with it, you know, creative in the offensive zones, kind of weaving through the Rangers, defensive structure, looking for kind of those weak points in and around grade A ice, has a track record of really kind of planting himself in and around the crease, looking for chances. So a guy whose play style caters towards those high danger chances and quality looks on whatever line he's at. Again, it's kind of like you look at Jake DeBrusque and how he plays a game, and you look at just like every shift where he usually is, and you can see why that guy has 25, 30 goals a season, or at least DeBrusque was on that pace this year. Bertuzzi's kind of the same player. It's really dangerous in and around the ice. You saw had that great pass to set up Charlie Coyle for that first goal of the game. And then you add in the other thing too. It'd be one thing if this was just another 20, 25 goal scorer. You know, the Bruins could have got a Mike Hoffman, you know, this empty calorie scorer that, you know, has deficiencies down the other end of the ice.
But
you
look at calorie score. Yeah, that's a terrific way to describe someone.
Yeah. It's almost like Max Domi. Like the Bruins could have gone out and got a guy like Max Domi who was having a really good year, but you look at the deficiencies down the other end of the ice. How much is it worth? And it's not to say that Bertuzzi's a Selke candidate or what have you, but he's responsible on his own end, always kind of hustles out there on every shift and adds an extra element of just being a pain in the ass to play for. Like you look at just what the Bruins acquired through these various trades. Yes, you look at Orlov's ability to eat up minutes. Great, you know, transition. Obviously, offensively, he's been good. Hathaway, I think, is a really underrated scoring fourth line, player on the checking line. And Bertuzzi is a former 30 goal scorer. They're also pains in the asses. Like,
yes.
I think it was Ty Anderson said it before that, you know what the Bruins need is a couple of shitheads. And I can see it. Like, that's the exact thing you need is in the playoffs.
They did. They could have used one of those shitheads in the 2019 Cup final.
Yeah. Like, again, that has to be what, you know, there's no enforcers or goons or anything like that anymore. It's guys like Hathaway, Bertuzzi that will drive you crazy and then also can pot a couple of goals against you over a seven-game series.
I mean, Marchand obviously is more of an elite scoring winger, but still, you know,
yeah,
maybe so, a little bit of a shithead sometimes.
So again, to add those players that Phil needs, you know, perform well and again have shown it on the score sheet over this very small sample size, very encouraging. But you add in that extra element of what they bring with that kind of sandpaper style of play, it's just another example of how the Bruins, I think, address so many needs off of these three trades. So it's impressive in terms of what kind of dynamic they added to an already very good roster.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
And those forward lines, I mean, even taking Hall and Foligno out, right? They're going to most likely potentially be out the rest of the regular season. But again, you look at those four lines, they all have an identity and they all kind of do something different, right? The first line is kind of do it all. Good in their own zone, good in the O zone, great in the cycle game. The second line basically trades chances and converts on more than they give up. You know, a little edgy, but they can do it, right? Third line is, you know, big puck possession line, tough to play against. You know, Coyle kind of solidifies that identity, but you add in Bertuzzi and Frederick or Taylor Hall before. Like, and kind of, I think Bertuzzi even solidifies that a bit more with just how tough he is to play against. And the fourth line, checking, defensive, all those things. It's hard to stop each line, and they all have the capability to score. That's the biggest thing, is that it's not, they are not like who, there was some goober from St. Louis. I don't know who I forget his name. I don't know who he is, but he mentioned something about the Bruins being a one line team. I want to be like, dude, like, was the last,
I think
Bruins
it was a Rangers fan, wasn't it?
Oh, was it Rangers? I don't know. I
think it was like blue shirts, something or other. So
okay. I probably just saw the Blues. Never mind. But maybe it was a Rangers guy. My apologies to the city of St. Louis. So much to protect over there.
That's fine.
But I will say it's like that guy in Pittsburgh that came at me a few years ago, the funny guy.
Excuse me, that was a stand-up comic legend in Pittsburgh, Evan. So you followed his crossroads. You're lucky you made it out. You're lucky you're still podcasting this day. Oof. That guy could have absolutely roasted you.
Oh, you could have put me in just whoop roast easy. Yep. I could have been dead watching my own death. But he was the person apparently from New York was saying how the Bruins are a one-line team, and it's like, well, have you not watched a Bruins game in like 2 years? I mean, this is not a one line team. This is very much a four line team. And on D there, basically they almost have four pairs.
That saying that this Bruins team is a one line team is like saying you don't watch the Fast and Furious because you don't like cars. It's like, you haven't been watching them lately. Like they're going to the moon. I think they went to Atlantis the last movie.
They're
like,
running out of places to go.
Yeah. You're not following the same team anymore. Yes, the Bruins historically have been a one line team, and that has been their flaw. But a little bit different this year.
It's an old narrative. It's a very old narrative. It's like how, and again, it takes time. We've seen this for years now. It takes time for narratives to kind of change, you know, nationally, right? Like, you know, the whole idea, the big bad Bruins. Well, they really weren't the big bad Bruins for, you know, a lot of the 2010s, right? And now they kind of are going back to that. Bertuzzi and Hathaway and Marchand and Greer and, you know, whatever. And you see it even with, like, for a long time, remember the players would get pulled and they would always take the goalie they hated to face most. And for, like, years, it was Carey Price. Even after he won his MVP and wasn't as good, there was like, oh, Carey Price. It takes time to change the narrative. So, but yeah, to think they're a one-line team, I don't really don't see the merit in that. I don't think they're really a one-line team. But, I mean, again, the Bruins are missing Taylor Hall, which, again, not great, not what you want. But you do have the depth now with the Bertuzzi trade. Now we're seeing how important that Bertuzzi trade was, because I do think if Taylor Hall did, if that happened to Taylor Hall and they never went out and got Bertuzzi, and let's say they just did nothing, I think you could sneak by, but you still, that third line is nowhere near as potent without Taylor Hall.
Yeah, I think when you look at the Bruins and where you miss a guy like Taylor Hall, and again, he hasn't maybe been the same player we're used to seeing from him, at least early on in this year. You wonder if he's been dealing with a nagging injury for a while now, because some of that trademark speed and playmaking hasn't really been there the last couple of weeks, if not a month, before he went down with that injury. So I think for the Bruins, yeah, it's again another kudos to Don Sweeney and the Bruins for, you know, pivoting right away and getting a guy. It'd be one thing if you find out right before the deadline you don't have a guy like Taylor Hall, former Hot winner, and go, all right, we got to get Nick Bonino.
Former what
Nick
winner?
Eichstad. Anyway, Evan Hart. It'd be one thing if the Bruins were like, all right, well, we got to pivot Nick Bjugstad. Like, we got Nick Bjugstad's a pretty solid player. And if he's like your third, fourth line pickup, if you're a team looking to add a little bit, he's had a good year. He's a solid player. But to then go out and get a guy like Bertuzzi, who's a former 30 goal scorer, who, again, as you said, was a top line player for Detroit, would be a top six player for, I think, most teams in the NHL. It's impressive. Like, I don't think you can replicate what Hall brings when he's on his game in terms of his straight line speed and how much of a mismatch that is on the third line next to a guy like Charlie Coyle. But again, we don't know for sure what the timeline is for Taylor Hall or Nick Foligno. It remains to be seen if we're going to see them in the playoffs or not. But if they are, yikes, that is a very scary third line. And again, and if, unfortunately, the injury bug does bite the Bruins and you don't have Hall and Foligno, again, it's a sizable loss, but you at least have another potent guy who probably shouldn't be on the third line. And Bertuzzi, they're driving play next to a guy like Coyle. So, again, wouldn't say it's a win-win, but you at least have added insurance by having a guy like Bertuzzi, a very, very strong player in that spot.
And also credit to Trent Frederick for living up to being a third-line player this year, which I think has been so important. You wrote a thing recently, just a quick thing.
I did. I do write, Evan.
Sometimes we write. You wrote a column on Charlie Coyle and how, you know, and you've kind of talked about this a lot this year, about how he is really completely changed into a defensive weapon. And the numbers are staggering. I believe 32% offensive zone draws this year. Has basically just become a defensive, you know, guy that Montgomery can rely on, and has kind of changed his role on the team, but it's worked out quite well.
Yeah, it's been huge. And I think you look at Charlie Coyle, and this is a guy that I think over the years, he's always the guy that gets drawn into, you know, trade rumors or moving that contract, which again, I think when you look at just the market value is a pretty fair deal to the one he signed. You have guys who are far less effective in what he does that makes $5 million plus in terms of what they bring and what Coyle's doing, especially this year. So
Flyers probably have a bunch of those guys.
Yeah, quite a few. Look at Vancouver. Vancouver's already over the cap, Evan, for next year, and they've not done anything. already over the cap.
They're horrible.
But I think you look at Coyle and what he brings. Yes, maybe he doesn't have the same stat line as other guys that you could say are maybe more secondary players like a Zaka or what have you. But what Coyle's doing in terms of being a guy that has only 32% of his faceoffs in the offensive zone during 5-on-5 play. Last time I looked, that was 299th out of 316 NHL forwards. And, of course, all the guys below him are fourth-line grinders. It's Hathaway. Yes. It's all these guys that are, you know, dealt with a lot more tougher ice to start with. So Coyle's being deployed primarily as a defensive forward this year. And that also includes the PK. He's tied with Nosek for the most shorthanded time on ice amongst Bruins forwards. And despite all that time, the Bruins are still outscoring teams. I think it was 40-26 during Coyle's 5-on-5 ice time. Like, yeah, it's not like it's a situation where he's kind of being fed to the wolves, and by kind of taking a hit on his stats, it's allowing Bergeron and Krejci, these guys, to get more favorable ice time. That has happened. Like, they are getting a lot more offensive zone time, which is great for them. But Coyle is still tilting the ice in the Bruins' favor when they're out there. And again, it's the stuff we've seen from Coyle in the past, whether it's holding on to the puck, out-muscling guys. Like, it's, he's a guy that even if he's starting in the D zone and you're trying to get the puck away from him, it's pretty tough. It's frustrating. It drains you. Like, it's something that, again, he's a guy where his impact in the game doesn't always translate into goals, assists, what have you. But for what he's been asked to do this year in terms of the greater scheme of things, I don't think it should be overlooked in terms of what that domino effect has been in terms of how it's impacted the rest of this team.
It's crazy. A 6'3", 220-pound center. Not fun. Take the puck.
Shocking.
Yes. Still has 35 points. So, yes. Again, like...
Yeah, still, it's not like he's like...
Is also producing.
20-point guy, yes.
So, it's clearly worked out well. Just like you working out so well over at Boston.com, giving the people what they want.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
Connor, what can people look forward to from you over the next couple weeks, months,
yeah,
years?
Wow. Yeah. Years. So we'll have you covered, again, every step of the way this Bruins season with recaps, columns, breakdowns, features, all that good stuff over at Boston.com. Of course, we have you covered on everything that's happening in Boston sports, whether it's the Patriots, Red Sox, Celtics, everything. So please read my stuff and all the rest of our great staff stuff over at Boston.com daily, please. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can at ConorRyan_93.
Go do all that. And remember to also go subscribe to New England Hockey Journal. Busy time of year. Lots of fun stuff over there. Anyways, that's this week's Bruins Beat. I'm Evan Marinofsky. Bruins Beat listeners, have a great rest of your week.